And so there is no right to abortion in the United States Constitution. You will not find an amendment to the U.S. Constitution or anywhere in it that says that you have a right to murder your child in the womb. It's not in there. The reality is they wrote it out of whole cloth, just like Dred Scott deprived Black people in America their freedom. And they were right to defy Dred Scott, and we are right to defy Roe v. Wade.
Welcome to another episode of At the Crossroads with Travis McNeely. And today I have as my guest, Pastor Brian Gunther. He's pastor of First Baptist Church of Livingston, Louisiana. And today we're going to talk about HB 813 and the abolition movement in Louisiana to abolish abortion in Louisiana. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, it's Monday night interviewing you now, and we have a big day coming this Thursday. But before we get to all of that, why don't you tell me a little bit about who you are and your role in Louisiana regarding pro-life work?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm Pastor Brian Gunther. I currently am the pastor of First Baptist Church in Livingston, Louisiana, and recently moved here near the Baton Rouge area. And so I had been pastoring for the past 8.5 years at First Baptist Church in Pollock, Louisiana. My role with the pro-life movement has been that ever since 2008, when I had a professor in seminary, one of my Hebrew professors, invite me to go with some people in his church to share the gospel outside of the abortion clinic in Fort Worth near the TCU campus, I saw 15 young women go into that clinic and take the life of their child on that day. And
wow.
You know, it crushed my soul. I mean, I was so burdened knowing that all those lives had been lost. And, you know, one of the things that we'll touch on in a moment. So for the past 14 years, I have tried to, as much as possible, go to abortion clinics and share the gospel and offer hope. And on that first time that I went, I saw a young girl, and I would estimate she must have been no more than 13 or 14.
Wow.
Being pulled by her hair by her mother. She was begging her mother not to make her do it. And
oh my goodness,
crying and pleading. And her mother was calling her all kinds of expletives and terrible names and saying, "I'm not going to raise your baby." And she forced her own daughter to kill her grandchild. And it was truly a coerced abortion. And I just want to start by saying this, Travis, a woman in that situation, is a victim, not a criminal. And women who are truly coerced and forced into abortion are in fact victims. However, the majority of the women that I've seen go into abortion clinics over the years, the majority of them go in bound and determined to take the life of their child. So I don't believe that every woman who has an abortion is a victim, but I also believe that some are. And so as we'll talk more about the application of HB 813 in a little bit, I just want to emphasize, if anyone thinks that I don't have compassion for these women, you don't know me and you don't know my history. So when I moved to Louisiana, I got involved in pro-life work around the state. And in particular, what I did was started working toward starting a pregnancy center in central Louisiana. That is the center part of the state. So in the area surrounding Alexandria.
Okay.
I wanted to have a pregnancy center because you had to drive about an hour or more in any direction. And Alexandria is a fairly large city, and with no ministry to serve mothers in a crisis pregnancy, I knew that we needed to go there and start a pregnancy center. And so, you know, my prayer was that the Lord would help me through working with other churches to start a pregnancy center. And God was incredibly gracious and provided way more funding than we ever thought we could have. And Sinlaw Pregnancy Center was founded in December of 2017. And it has thrived ever since, served over 1,100 mothers in a crisis pregnancy. Many of those women came to us either considering or planning to have an abortion and spared the life of their child, their little literally hundreds of babies alive today because of that ministry, and over 1,000 women who were in a crisis pregnancy and needed help, and we provided them that help. So I served as the founder and board president of that ministry for, I started before we actually ever got it off the ground. We had to raise money. So there was a period of about 5.5 years when I was doing that work, including the time where I was raising money to get it going. And so, we saw an incredible work there. We opened a second pregnancy center in Marksville, Louisiana, and Sinlaw Pregnancy Center will soon open its third in Vidalia, Louisiana. Wow. These are free medical clinics to help women in a crisis pregnancy. Free counseling from a licensed counselor and social worker. Free ultrasounds, pregnancy tests from registered nurses. It's the only place in town where you can get a free ultrasound and see the child in your womb and see the life that is there, so that women can make an informed decision when they're pregnant.
Yeah.
And so we also share the gospel of Jesus Christ with these women, and and many people have come to know Christ through that ministry.
So praise God.
Literally saving lives and saving souls, and may be one of the most important works that God will ever allow me to do in my life was founding Sinlaw Pregnancy Center. So very thankful for that. In addition to the work with the pregnancy centers, the other thing that I was known for in the pro-life movement was my work with Louisiana Right to Life, which is the state's largest pro-life organization. I was on their staff for a little over 4 years and just recently left at the beginning of this year. One of the things that I did, probably what I was best known for in that capacity, was leading pro-life marches across the state, where literally thousands of people would come out in cities across Louisiana to march for life. And some of those, I was the primary leader of the march, and some I played in a support role. We had marches with 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people coming out to march for an end to abortion in our state. And so over the years, I've kind of become somewhat well known in the pro-life movement in Louisiana. So I'm just thankful to God that He has given me an opportunity to raise awareness about the plight of the preborn child who is being murdered every day in this state by abortion.
Wow, man, that's incredible, and so grateful for your work saving so many lives of unborn children. And man, I just think that's it's fantastic that not only helping them with their babies and their basic needs, but also the most important need, the gospel. And just so encouraged to hear that as a pastor, and seeing that work, and hopefully that inspires not only myself but many others to do similar work in their state. So thank you for your testimony in that regard. I've known you before from the Louisiana Baptist Convention and other things, and your stance about critical race theory, which has been awesome to see that too. But also in particular, I saw you coming out with HB 813 and your work regarding that and promoting that. That's how I saw got reconnected with you. And April 30th was at the rally for this bill, and it just went through committee. Why don't you explain to listeners what exactly HB 813 is? This has been covered now because it passed through committee through Time Magazine, Rolling Stone, Politico, Reuters, NBC News. These are just the ones I can think of top of my head, and I've seen your name in it. I'm like, oh wow, I know that guy's all over these liberal news sources. And so really just want to hear, just give us a history. How did we get to here, and what's going to be happening this week?
Yeah, so that's a good synopsis. So basically, House Bill 813 is titled the Abolition of Abortion in Louisiana Act of 2022. It is a bill that is very simple. It says that life begins at conception, that is defined as the moment of fertilization, which is the moment when the sperm and the egg meet and the child begins to grow. And so we believe, and the pro-life movement has always believed, that at the moment of conception, a unique whole human being is created. That is when personhood is given by God to that child, and that child's life from the moment of conception deserves to be protected. God commands us to protect them. And so We put in the bill that life begins at the moment of conception, and therefore the preborn child in the womb from the moment of conception will have the same legal protections as all other persons. So to state it very simply, the preborn and the born should have equal protection under the law. The same laws that protect your life and mine would also protect children in the womb if HB 813 is passed into law. It's exactly what the pro-life movement has been saying that we believe for so long. And it is truly the consistent pro-life position. If the child in the womb is a person, then they have a right to life. And we should not discriminate against them because of their age or their size or their location or their level of development, right? I mean, none of those things decide whether or not they have a right to life. The fact that they're human, that they're created in the image of God, means that their lives are just as precious in yours and mine, and they should be protected from the moment of conception when God creates them in the womb. And therefore, we believe that the preborn child in the womb should have the exact same legal protections and rights as all other persons. And that's what HB 813 would do.
So this past week, it was last Wednesday, it was brought through the Administration of Criminal Justice Committee before it went, and it passed with a vote of 7-2. And now it's going to be on the House floor this Thursday. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about this coming event this week regarding that and this vote, and maybe what you would say to Louisianans, what they should do. Because often, you know, we hear a lot about the news, but we often think, oh, there's nothing I can do about it. Things are just going to happen as they happen. You know, what might you say to people today regarding that vote this Thursday?
Well, we need people who are truly pro-life to come out and support HB 813. The reality is that this bill would end abortion in this state once and for all. And it's also important to know that this bill doesn't wait on the U.S. Supreme Court to end abortion. One of the things that we have to realize is that we have been waiting for permission from the U.S. Supreme Court for half a century to end the murder of children in our state. And that is absurd. We should have never complied with Roe from the start. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But I just want to say that by coming out and telling our legislators on this Thursday, starting at 2 p.m. when the House convenes, you'll be sending a very clear message to those legislators and look them in the eye as they go to vote and tell them that you want them to give the preborn equal rights.
You know, regarding that, you said some really great things in your testimony, which I know people can go probably watch that online, the testimony you gave about defying SCOTUS. And I just want to talk about that, because even this brings to mind conversations about COVID and, you know, can you disobey the government? You know, all those kind of things. What's obedience to the government and disobedience to the government look like, you know, often called civil disobedience. And I like to actually recommend a book, Francis Schaeffer's A Christian Manifesto, has a couple chapters on this that goes through church history and a bunch of other things and talks about civil disobedience. But can a state actually defy a SCOTUS ruling? So this is kind of the question I want to pose to you. As a Christian, should we advocate for disobeying the government in this way?
So I wouldn't state it as defying SCOTUS, but as defying an unconstitutional ruling of the Supreme Court. So we should defy Roe, right? And so let me give a historical example first. In 1857, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a Black person, a Black man is not a person. Therefore, they do not have the same rights as you and I. They can be owned as a piece of property, like cattle. And under the 1850 Fugitive Slave Act, the United States Supreme Court ordered northern states where slaves had escaped to gain their freedom. The U.S. Supreme Court ordered those states to return the escaped slaves in their states to their slave owners in the South. Do you know what some of the states said, namely New York and Massachusetts? They said, no, they're people. They're not cattle. We're not bringing them back. They're not property, they're persons. They defied the Dred Scott ruling. It was unjust. It was evil. It was wicked. It was immoral. And I would say to anyone who says that we can't defy Roe, then my question is this. You have to answer this historical question. Were the states of New York and Massachusetts wrong for defying Dred Scott? Do you really believe that those escaped slaves should have been forced back into slavery, returned to their slave owners? Do you really think that that's what should have been done in 1857? Absolutely not. And I don't know if there's a person in America today that would argue otherwise, but here's the thing. Roe is just as unconstitutional as Dred Scott. The reality is that the United States Constitution guarantees people equal rights under the law. And you have no right to discriminate against one person and deprive them of the right to life or equal protection under the law than another person. So Roe is unconstitutional on its face. And here's the matter. Let me boil it down. United States Supreme Court justices do not have the authority to rewrite the U.S. Constitution. If you want to amend the U.S. Constitution, there is a rigorous process, and there's a reason why it involves the states. Because our founders, under a federalist system, wanted the states to be a check on the federal government, especially the judiciary, that they would not step outside of their constitutional bounds. And our federal system of government, under federalism, our system of government is one in which the states have the power, and I would say the duty, to check the United States Supreme Court when they try to write new things into the Constitution that are not there. And so there is no right to abortion in the United States Constitution. You will not find an amendment to the U.S. Constitution or anywhere in it that says that you have a right to murder your child in the womb. It's not in there. The reality is they wrote it out of whole cloth, just like Dred Scott deprived Black people in America their freedom. And they were right to defy Dred Scott, and we are right to defy Roe v. Wade.
Awesome. Yeah, that's very helpful, especially taking a historical example that's very similar, where the question of personhood was put forward, right? And so often today they just say, well, it's my body, my choice, or, you know, it's just a clump of cells, and they treat it like property, you know, and not like a person. And it is a person. And so that's a really good historical example to bring up, and often used, and I think rightly used in that way, because appealing to the Constitution, that's what everyone swears an oath to when they take office. And so when they go against their oath of office, it's we the people who must hold them responsible and accountable, and especially through our, we might say, lesser magistrates, governors, state legislators, and others to step up. You know, some people have said, and I've seen this response just online, some people have said that this bill is not necessary to end abortion. And the reason why they say that is if Roe is overturned, Louisiana already has trigger laws. This bill just changes the start of being human from implantation to fertilization. We don't need this. This is not pro-life. And they also say things like it's a death sentence for mothers with ectopic pregnancies. What would you say to these kind of objections?
Yeah, so there's a lot of objections here that are coming from people who call themselves pro-life. And I don't doubt that they truly care about the child in the womb, but they're being inconsistent. They're my friends. But they're being inconsistent, and they need to just think through this position. So let's start here. You've seen the headlines. I mean, what does every national news story that is seeking to vilify me for introducing this legislation, what do they all say? Well, you got this preacher who wants women to have the death penalty, right? He wants women charged with murder for having an abortion. Okay. First off, our law says nothing about what penalties would be. What our law says is that children in the womb will be afforded the same protections as all other persons. Now, when a person is killed in the United States of America, we have a criminal justice system that decides if there's evidence that the person was intentionally killed. Then we have prosecutors who decide what to charge them with. We have judges to oversee this process. We have juries to decide if they're guilty, and a judge and or jury to decide what the sentence should be. And the point of all this is that we don't decide those things in our bill. We leave that up to the criminal justice system and the courts, because that is their proper role. And that is what they ought to be doing. So the next thing is when someone objects to a criminal punishment for abortion for the mother, I want you to realize what's behind their statement. If they say that a woman should never be charged with a crime for having an abortion, let me translate for you what they're saying. They're saying that mothers should be able to kill their preborn child without consequences. They're saying that it should not be a crime for a mother to kill her preborn child. Now, is that pro-life?
Nope. That
a pregnant woman ought to be able to kill the child in her womb without consequences. Do we really think that's pro-life?
Definitely
because
not.
There are a lot of people in the national pro-life movement and even statewide organizations that are taking that position. That's not pro-life at all. Let me ask you another question. How do we think we're going to actually end abortion in this state if we take away criminal punishments? Now they say, oh, well, we're going to punish the abortionist and the abortion clinic. Okay. All right. So what are you going to do when a woman goes out of state and gets an abortion pill and comes back and takes the abortion pill and kills the child in her womb? What are you going to do about that? I'll tell you what they're going to do. Nothing. In fact, we may have more abortion than ever because abortion pills are being mailed to this state, and you can try to stop that, but we're having quite a time trying to stop all kinds of illegal substances in our state, and it's very difficult to do. But if the act of abortion becomes a crime and you can be charged with a crime for killing your own child, well, then suddenly we have some real teeth to our pro-life laws, and we could actually put an end to it. But if you want to take away the criminal enforcement mechanism, then you will have pro-life laws that do nothing. And by the way, that's why we still have abortion after half a century in this state since Roe v. Wade and across this nation, because we've not been consistent. We haven't truly treated abortion for what it is. It's the murder of a human being, and it has to stop.
Man, that's a great response, man. You know, listen, I sent you that text earlier. Is that all right if I read that tweet or the text and who it's from or no? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
That's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Louisiana Right to Life had put on their Twitter saying HB 813, this bill is self-defeating with no teeth and no enforceability. And you literally just talked about this bill being a something that has teeth to it because of criminalizing it, right? Giving equal protection. And then they say things like this, plus it would treat our current body of pro-life laws as void, including informed consent, waiting periods, minor protections, ultrasound requirements, and every other piece of legislation we've worked on to pass since 1973. So what do you say to that argument of, we might say, incrementalism?
Yeah, so a couple things here. Number one, there's nothing in the bill that says we're repealing those regulations on abortion. What our bill does is it supersedes those regulations and says, you're not just going to get fined for an abortion, you're going to be charged with a crime under the homicide code.
Yeah.
The reality is that when you look at a statement like this bill has no teeth, you got to wonder, well, if it has no teeth and no enforceability, then why are you so afraid of it? I mean, if it's not going to do anything, why are you so afraid of it? On one hand, the same people are saying it does too much. And then on the other hand, they're saying it doesn't do anything. Well, which is it? The truth is, Travis, that people don't want to deal with abortion for what it is, murder.
Yeah.
And we can't allow people to murder with no consequence. That is a lawless nation that does that. There's one other thing that I need to address. You mentioned it earlier, and I want to make sure I answer it. I'll just address them in order. Ectopic pregnancies, miscarriages, and IVF. These things keep getting brought up.
Yeah.
Ectopic pregnancies. Sadly, in an ectopic pregnancy, there's no way to save the life of the child, okay? What this law requires is what every other law requires, that you do everything you can to save the life of the child and the mother. But the reality is, in an ectopic pregnancy, you can't save the life of the child. That child is not going to be able to implant in the uterus where the child can grow. And yes, the mother's life is at risk. And yes, that ectopic pregnancy would have to be removed. But realize we do surgeries every day in America where people's lives may be put at risk. And we do everything we can to save people's lives in hospitals. But sometimes you just can't save a life. You do everything you can medically. There is a huge difference between intentionally killing a person and doing everything you can to save their life in a hospital, but not being able to because of medical limitations. So, I mean, to say that mothers would be charged with murder if they have an ectopic pregnancy removed would be like saying doctors who can't save the life of someone who has cancer would somehow be charged with murder. That's absurd.
Yeah.
You do everything you can to save their life, but if you can't save their life, that's not your fault. We can't help that. We live in a fallen world. There are terrible medical realities, and we wish it weren't the case, but it simply is reality. So that really is misdirection, trying to get an emotional reaction in people, making women who would even be pro-life think, well, I got to be against this because I could have an ectopic pregnancy. That's right. Absurd.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about miscarriage. So they say, oh, if you have a miscarriage, you could be charged with murder. Okay, do you not realize the difference between natural death and homicide? if a body is found in your home and you say, look, I left, my wife was here. When I left, I came back, she was dead. They're going to do an investigation. They're going to say, was there any foul play? Did someone kill her or did she die of natural causes? And if they find that she died of natural causes, they're not going to charge you with murder.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
The same laws that protect your life and mine will protect the preborn child.
Yeah.
If there's no evidence of wrongdoing, it's absurd to say that you would be charged with murder just because a person has died. Miscarriage is a horrible reality, but so are heart attacks and cancer, and we don't charge people with murder because they weren't able to stop a person from dying of a heart attack. That's absurd, and they know it.
Yep.
But they're trying to invoke an emotional reaction and scare people. And you know why they're going to scare tactics and emotion? Because they're losing the argument.
Yep.
Because the truth is on our side.
Yep.
Because common sense, reason, ethics, and most of all, the word of God are on our side.
Right.
Life begins at conception. We see in Psalm 139, verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed substance. What we see in Psalms is that the child in the womb, the word there is golem in Psalm 139, the Hebrew word meaning a tiny round ball. If you look it up in a Hebrew lexicon, a Hebrew dictionary, the word means embryo. And the Bible says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. You wrote in your book all the days of my life when yet there was none of them. You know what that's saying? The first day of my life was the day when I was an embryo in my mother's womb. That's the moment of conception. According to the word of God, life begins at the moment of conception when you're an embryo in your mother's womb. So if you believe the Bible is true, you must believe that life begins at conception because the Bible plainly says so. And if you're saying that the child in the womb, that they should be able to be killed without consequence, you might say it's wrong to kill them, but we're not going to do anything about it if you do. If you take that position, but then say, now, if you killed the child outside the womb, you should be charged with murder. What you're doing is you're discriminating against the preborn child, and you're saying that their life is less valuable and less worthy of protection. And if you say that, you're not pro-life. Do you really believe that the child in the womb is a person or not? Is abortion murder or is it not? Is the life, is the child in the womb a human life or not? Are you telling me that some lives are less valuable and less worthy of protection? Do you really believe that? Just think this through. There's no way around this logic. And then lastly, IVF. Look, our bill agrees with what the pro-life movement has been saying for years. We don't have a problem with IVF. What we have a problem with is unethical IVF. We have a problem with creating a bunch of embryos and then just destroying them. If you create an embryo, then you should try to implant that embryo because, yes, that is a human life, and you should do everything you can to save that child's life. This is, once again, it's the same principle. We have no problem with IVF. Just do it ethically. But don't create human life and then just destroy it or throw it in a trash can. And so that's the principle. And the pro-life movement has agreed with that principle for many, many years. But because they may have objections to other things in the bill, they don't actually answer that issue when it's coming from the left and the pro-abortion side. And that's the thing here. There are a lot of people who are pro-life who just hope HB 813 goes away. Well, they say they're pro-life. Let me back up. I would say they're not truly pro-life. They're not being consistent.
That's right.
Now, I'm not questioning that they care about children in the womb.
Yeah.
I'm just questioning whether or not they're ever going to end the murder of children in the womb by compromising. You're not going to get there by compromising on this issue.
That's right.
If we don't treat abortion for what it is, we're never going to end it.
Right.
And so what we have to understand is that everything the pro-life movement has been saying about the humanity of the child in the womb is true. And HB 813 would just put that into law. That's all it does. It's a consistent pro-life bill. It does exactly what the pro-life movement says we have believed for half a century in this country. We just had the guts to put it into a bill and propose it as law. And now they're upset with us for putting the same ethical principles, trying to put them into law. I say our bill is perfectly consistent. And my friends who are pro-life but don't support HB 813, they need to think these issues through. Because what's going to happen if Roe gets overturned and we don't have serious enforcement of these laws is we're not going to stop abortion. And that's not acceptable. Listen, in the state of Louisiana, according to the Louisiana Department of Health, in 2021, 7,444 babies were legally murdered in abortion clinics in this state. That's an average of 20 babies murdered every day. And Travis, I would ask you and your listeners a question. If you knew that someone was going to go into your local elementary school tomorrow and murder 20 children, would you try to stop it? Would you do something about it? Would you stand up? Would you say something? Or would you say, well, that's not my problem? And, you know, people might get upset at me if I try to go and save those children's lives. And, you know, I really, it's too controversial. I don't want to get involved. And, oh, you know, what will people say? Are you going to let those children be killed? Or are you going to stand up and do something about it? Now, I have another question. What's the difference between that and the 20 babies that will be murdered by abortion tomorrow in the state of Louisiana? That's the thing. 20 babies will be killed tomorrow, and we're trying to put a stop to it. And we got other people saying, no, no, don't do that. Let's compromise. No, children are being killed every day. They're killing children, and we are trying to stop it. And we need to all understand how urgent this matter is. This is grievous. The amount of bloodshed in this state and in this nation is so great. Over 60 million babies murdered legally. And you want us to compromise? We've murdered 10 times the number of people as the Nazi regime. And you want me to compromise? You want me to be patient and wait another year? And then maybe we'll have the guts to stop this? We're never going to stop it unless we end abortion now. And we do the right thing now. People say, oh, well, it's not the right time. You know, you got to wait another year. You know, we got elections coming up and we got this, that, and the other. It's not the right time. You know what my answer to that is? It's never the wrong time to do the right thing.
That's right.
And it's about time we grow a backbone, act like men, and do the right thing. and women of God. But I, you know what? I hold the men in this nation primarily accountable. God calls us to be the leaders of our homes. And we need to stand up. If men can't defend children, who will?
Yeah.
And the reality is that's what the Word of God would call us to do. And Travis, I want to share one scripture that really God has just emblazoned on my heart. It's Proverbs chapter 24, verses 10 to 12. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now, notice what's being said there. If you faint in the day of adversity, means if you back down because there's a lot of pressure. In other words, if it's controversial and you back down, your strength is small. Or just put it in simple terms, God's saying, don't be a coward. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And then comes the command, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. And if you say, well, behold, we did not know this. I didn't know this was going on. I couldn't do anything about it. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay each man according to his work? Hear me. Every one of us is going to stand before Jesus Christ one day soon. And he's going to ask us, what did we do to stop the murder of children in our own communities, in our own state, in our own nation? And I don't intend to stand before Jesus and tell him, oh, gee, I did nothing because I was afraid. I let children die to protect my own reputation because they might have sent a mean tweet out about me. No, I'm going to do the right thing. And I'm going to leave the results in the hands of God. And I don't care what men say about me. I care what Jesus thinks about me. And Jesus has commanded me to rescue those who are perishing and hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. And I'm not going to back down or shut up or sit down just because we have powerful people in this nation who want to say, you can't do that. Yeah, they also said we couldn't end slavery. By the grace of God, it finally ended. And one day we're going to look back, Lord willing, we're going to look back and we're going to see abortion ended in this nation. And those who compromised are going to go down in history as being partially responsible for the reason why it took so long to finally end it. No, we have to end it now. We have to get serious. This is an urgent matter. And we have to stop playing games, and we have to end abortion now. No excuses, no more waiting.
Absolutely, man. And thank you so much for that. It was an awesome charge, even just to all of us who are listening. And man, it was just fantastic. I think about, you know, I have three sons, and I have, we have a fourth on the way, not a son, but we have a daughter this time. So excited about that.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. And I just think about that question. Maybe in my old age and looking back on the controversies of this time, and my sons were saying to me, and or my daughter, Dad, what were you doing? You know, you saw this atrocity happening. What were you doing? You know, and I think about, you know, what kind of answer would I want to, you know, give my kids? I'm not living for them. You know, it's not about the opinions of man. It's about Christ. But if my kids are faithfully following Christ and they see that abortion was a wicked scourge upon our nation, taking innocent lives, was there anything that I did, you know, and I would hope to say, yes, I called my legislators. I proclaimed the gospel, but I also tried to do my civic duty as well and tried to win people to Christ, go outside of abortion clinics and proclaim the gospel, offer services to women to help them before they try to make that horrible choice to murder their child. There's so many things that I hope I say to them that I've done. And this is one of those things. I'm trying to really push this because this is an opportunity for us to make a difference. And it's going to go to the House this Thursday and be voted on. And so been praying and been encouraging people to pray and just throughout all social media. So if you're watching this and you've made it this far in the episode, please push this out, this information out about HB 813. And if you're from Louisiana, send an email to your legislator and tell them in the subject line, put vote yes to HB 813 and encourage them, be kind to them. And doesn't matter even their view, if they're Republican or Democrat, send them an email saying, please vote yes, and encourage them. And Lord willing, that could happen. The Proverbs says that the king's heart is like a stream in the hand of the Lord, to guide where he wills. And we pray that the Lord would soften the hearts of many of these legislators so that we could see HB 813 put in place, and our governor. Travis, yeah.
You know, we started this by, I was telling the story about this young girl, about 13, 14 years old, who was forced into an abortion. You know what HB 813 would do? It would hold the woman, the mother, the grandmother in this case, who forced her own child to have an abortion, it would hold her accountable.
That's right.
But if a woman is actually coerced into an abortion, she wouldn't be charged with a crime. No, the one who coerced her, or men who abuse women and force them to have abortions, which happens all the time. We know that sex predators love to use abortion to cover up their crimes.
Right.
We'd hold them accountable for the child that they kill by abortion. So for those who say, well, what if a woman is forced to have an abortion? Then we'd actually hold the person who's forcing her into it accountable.
That's right.
And rightly so. Yep. It's another reason why we need to pass HB 813.
That's right.
But certainly someone who would be forced against their will would not be charged with a crime, because once again, that's not how our criminal justice system works. So if you really care about those women who are being coerced, and there are some, I mean, it's not all, but there are some who are being coerced into abortion. If you really care about them, then you'd support HB 813 so that you can hold accountable those who are forcing them into it, that they would be charged with murder, as they should be.
Awesome. Yeah, man, that's absolutely spot on, and a biblical precedent as it relates to what it really truly means to be pro-life. And thank you so much for laying that out for this entire episode. Just in closing, you know, we hope this bill passes. Lord willing, it does. But what would you say to people, just like as an action step to move forward? You know, people might watch this in other states. What would you say to them on next steps of something they could do? If there's someone sitting in the pew, or if it's a pastor and a pastor's like, what can I do? What would you kind of say to them at this pivotal point where they're at a crossroad of like, I can choose to do something or not. What should they do?
You need to contact the state representatives in the Louisiana legislature. There's 105 of them, but you specifically need to contact the 68 Republicans who all ran as pro-life. Every elected Republican in the Louisiana legislature ran as pro-life. We need 53 votes on Thursday to pass HB 813. There are 68 pro-life Republicans and a number of pro-life Democrats as well. So if all the legislators who ran as pro-life vote for HB 813, it will overwhelmingly pass and make it into law. There's enough pro-life legislators to override a governor's veto.
Wow.
So what you need to do is you need to call all those pro-life legislators. And if you want to know where to start, every Republican, all 68 of them in the House, ran as pro-life. Start with them, and then find out which Democrats ran as pro-life and call them too. And if they vote for this, it's done. It'll be ended. So if every pro-life legislator votes yes, HB 813 will make it into law. Abortion will be immediately ended and criminalized in this state, and children in the womb will be equally protected from the moment of conception. And that's what we need to do. So, hey, why don't we keep our word? If you ran as pro-life, keep your word. But I'm going to tell you, we got to hold their feet to the fire on this one.
That's right.
You need to reach out to them and call them.
Awesome. Well, Brian, man, thank you so much for coming on, and look forward to hopefully hearing a resounding major yes from the House of Representatives.
Amen.
Yep. Awesome, man. Thank you.
Absolutely.